Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Here tonight, Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, is also here.
Captain, you were interested in talking about the $5 million president tonight. What was that
all? We can make him talking.
Slower. Slower. We can make him fall down more. Weaker. Worse than he was before.
During the pre-show prep, we were talking about, I don't remember who did it, but one of these skit comedy shows, maybe Saturday Night Live or Mad TV or something like that. A long time ago, they did a spoof of the $6 million man, and instead they made the $600 man.
Okay.
It was built out of, like, you know, toaster parts from a junkyard and, you know, blender pieces and, you know, because they had no budget at the time for the military. But now, wrong kind of $5 million man. This one is none other than the president, Joe Biden.
Well, what about him?
Well, would you like to buy Joe Biden? Apparently, he's for sale for $5 million.
That seems kind of cheap for a president.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
What a bargain.
Right? Like, I mean, this seems like, you know, basement pricing. Is there a sale today? Is it a holiday? What's going on? This from Zero Hedge. Bombshell FBI document alleges $5 million bribe paid to Joe Biden by Burisma executive.
I know you're shocked.
Burisma. Wasn't that the Ukrainian power company?
Yep.
That Hunter Biden was in depth with?
Yeah, Ukrainian oil company that Hunter Biden got like a really, really high level, well paid position.
Yeah, he was getting like 50 mil or something like that, right?
You know, because he has tremendous experience and his Ukrainian is flawless.
Power companies and that kind of
thing. And he's never done crack.
No.
Nor does he own a laptop.
Or hired prostitutes.
Or all three at the same time.
Yeah.
Someone has leaked the contents of the stonewalled FBI document form FD-1023, which alleges that President Joe Biden was paid $5 million by an executive of Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma Holdings, where his son Hunter sat on the board.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Apparently that's his job description, just sit there.
Board member.
Mm-hmm. You just sit.
I mean, that's pretty much all you do on a board, just sit.
I mean, it is a perfect place to put someone who's absolutely useless, but you're, you know, using to bribe his dad.
Yeah, I mean, basically board positions in some cases are very kind of, well, in all cases, they're really boring positions.
B-O-R-E-D? Not B-O-A-R-D.
Yes, very B-O-R-I-N-G, boring. And I presume they're, you know, we're giving him this for some reason, and that's never really been made clear.
Well, the form dated June 30th, 2020, is from a highly credible, confidential human source who had detailed multiple meetings and conversations they had with a top Burisma executive over the course of several years, beginning in 2015. The CHS had been working with the FBI as a regular, reliable source of information since 2010 and has been paid approximately $200,000 by the Bureau. The Burisma executive sought the advice of the confidential source, a business professional, on gaining U.S. oil rights and getting involved with the U.S. oil company. The sources familiar with the document said the Burisma executive was speaking with the confidential source to get advice on the best way to go forward in 2015 and 2016. Mm-hmm. According to the form, the confidential human source said the Burisma executive discussed Hunter's role on the board. The confidential human source questioned why the Burisma executive needed his or her advice on acquiring access to U.S. oil if he had Hunter Biden on the board. The Burisma executive answered by referring to Hunter Biden as dumb.
So this executive said,
"It's almost like he didn't meritocratically earn his place on the board of a Ukrainian company.
He didn't perform tasks valuable enough and rise through the ranks by his own accomplishments to achieve his seat on the board.
That's kind of what it sounds
like." It begs the question again: why is he there if he is so stupid to the point where,
to ask that question is to answer it. I mean, obviously, this is a way of bribing the people in actual power.
Sure.
And the funny part
about
this... Well, I mean, because the American government runs Ukraine. Pure and simple. So when the coup happened in 2014, Burisma didn't even bother to try and bribe the new incoming government. They went straight over their head to their managers in the United States government.
Smart move.
It is. It's a real cost-saving motion right there.
You don't have to bribe a bunch of people when you can just bribe the president himself.
Exactly. Why bother with these middle management types when I know who you're taking orders from?
Or in that case, the vice president. Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, who knows if Barack Obama got himself a cut, too.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
And either way, that was the reason for it, which is why he lost his job as soon as Obama was no longer in office.
Wait, who lost whose job?
Hunter Biden lost his job at Burisma. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that detail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The second that they lost that election, it was announced that they were letting him go with a nice severance package.
We don't need your services on the board anymore.
Yeah.
Was it like $5 million?
I don't remember how much it may have been, actually.
According to the Burisma executive, the company had to, quote, pay the Bidens because Ukraine's lead prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, was investigating Burisma. According to the CHS, he suggested that the Burisma executive pay the Bidens $50,000 each.
That's it.
This is the part in the movie, Austin Powers, where everybody laughs at the paltry sum of money that's being, you know, anyway. To which the Burisma executive replied, no, not $50,000. It's $5 million.
$5 million, okay.
$5 million for one Biden, $5 million for the other Biden, the executive reportedly said.
Okay, all right.
So
one for five for Hunter, five for Dad.
One can only assume these things, but this is a supposed quote from this executive.
It sounds to me like Dad wanted his son to be taken care of, right? Because he doesn't bring anything to the operation. He doesn't bring anything to the board. He doesn't have any expertise on securing oil rights or cutting deals with American oil companies. Yeah. He has no power to assist with any kind of governmental issues. Right. So it was totally like a nepotistic thing. Like, oh, you're going to help me out. Well, you need to help my son. He's a crackhead.
Yeah, and if you look through the emails, it'll be like, and this much to the big guy, which is pretty obviously his dad. So, yeah, this was very simply a way of getting a cut to Biden. I mean, these are all just ways of paying bribes without them appearing to be bribes.
Sure.
Just like books and speaking tours, all of these things.
Totally legal.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some of that as the article continues. The $5 million repayments appeared to reference some sort of retainer that Burisma intended to pay the Bidens in order to clean up several issues, including the investigation led by Shokin. Another source told Fox.
The Shokin guy was the prosecutor in Ukraine,
right?
But the idea being that because the United States put all these guys in power, essentially, that they could whisper down the line and say, "You need to lighten up on Burisma."
Right. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Right. The CHS believes that the $5 million payment to Joe Biden and $5 million to Hunter happened as the Burisma executive said he paid the Bidens. So through so many different bank accounts, that's a quote, through so many different bank accounts, that investigators would not be able to unravel this for years. The document does make reference to the big guy, as you mentioned just moments ago.
Yeah, I mean, this is all about another form of regulatory capture. So they know that the laws that will be put in place by this new government will only happen with the okay of the American government. So they don't want the new government to put in laws that restricts them. They want the new government to put in laws that restricts their competition.
Right.
So this is their way of making sure that they can whisper in those particular ears so that the laws that do pass in the new propped up puppet government are only the ones that benefit Burisma.
You have to wonder what they're doing now. know, are they, is Hunter back involved in some way, shape, or form?
He's back in crack.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that they're just as up to their noses in corruption as they used to be. I mean, it's an intensely corrupt country. Honestly.
They are tyrants, aren't they?
Well, so there's tyrants and then there's tyrants, right? So, like, you know, we complain very frequently about the new things that they're, you know, adding on top of the tyranny in this country, but I wouldn't compare it to, say, North Korea. So there's tyrants and then there's tyrants. Mm-hmm. So, like, North Korean tyranny is a much worse form of tyranny, without a doubt. And there's corruption and there's corruption. So, like, there's regular corruption.
Yeah, some slave plantations treat their slaves better than others.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's we know that money has gotten way bigger, right? Because now there's literally, what, $100 billion plus in counting taxpayer dollars that have been shuffled over to Ukraine. Of course, once it gets
and
there,
another
you don't know $2.1
billion is going over.
Fresh.
Yeah. Because they didn't have enough already.
Yeah. So, and of course, once it gets there, you lose track of anything as far as where it goes. So who knows, you know, did Burisma get a cut of it? Did the Nazis that are in the military there get a big cut of it? Who knows where that money's gone?
And I know where some of the money is going is it's coming right back around. So, like, they when SBF got caught with
the FTX.
Yeah, with the FTX problem. So one of the things that came out, because, okay, all of a sudden these are public documents that everyone gets to look at. One of the things that came out was that that money got laundered. So it went from all of us to Ukraine, from Ukraine to Sam Bankman-Fried in FTX, and from FTX back to the Democratic National Convention.
Funny how that works.
Real simple money laundering, but it's legal.
According to the Burisma executive, they didn't pay the big guy directly. Meanwhile, sources tell Fox that the Burisma executive appears to be at a very, very high level of the company, with one source even suggesting that it could be the president of the company, Mykola Zlachevsky, though the executive's name is redacted in the document. Biden notably bragged on camera about quid pro quo arrangement to have Shokin fired.
Wow.
Yeah.
I said,
he says all kinds of things out loud, and there's never any kind of consequence.
That was honestly like, it was a conspiracy theorist's wet dream. So there he is at the, it was one of those round table, like the on foreign affairs, the Committee on Foreign Affairs, I think it was. So he's at, you know, one of the, like, big conspiracy roundhouses that these people of immense power are always on. That and the Trilateral Commission and that sort of thing. So he's at that, speaking there, on the record, about this corruption, where he says that you've got to get rid of this investigator who's going after his son. And if you don't get rid of this investigator, I will be on that plane and you're not getting your money.
Here's the actual quote from Joe Biden. I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money.
Okay.
That's the actual quote Biden said in 2018 at a CFR event.
That was it. Yeah, CFR, Council on Foreign Relations.
Interesting. That was during the Trump administration. How? I guess he just has enough connections.
Well, he said that about when he was under Obama, because he was actually visiting that country, I think, either with Obama or on his behalf.
Huh. Okay.
And wouldn't you know, he got fired.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I bet he did.
SOB, he got fired.
That's the actual, it says, well, son of a, can I say that on the air?
Son of a bitch?
Yeah, I guess so.
Son of a bitch, he got fired.
Son of a bitch, he got fired. He continued, and they put in place someone who was solid. At the time. Solid. I guess solid means
solid
on their side.
Yeah. Solid means he's in the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
He's,
on the take.
He's on the take. He's not going to go after this corruption and, you know, ruin our gig.
Of course, we would be remiss if we didn't note that this is exactly what Trump was impeached for asking about after the 2019 phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky, who Trump asked to launch investigations into the Biden family, particularly Hunter's dealings with Burisma and Joe Biden's involvement in Shokin's ouster.
Yeah, when it comes to international corruption, Ukraine has more than its fair share.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a really significant more than its fair share that goes through Ukraine to launder all of this.
And look what Trump got as a result.
Right.
He's got 37 charges now that he's facing in federal court.
Well, and that's one of the things. Like, these are permanent messages that they are giving to any new presidents in the future.
This is here, what we will do to you.
Right.
Yeah.
This is where the line is. Mm-hmm. Here's where our line is. You do not mess with our payday, and here's our payday.
There's just a couple more points in the article. The confidential source, according to sources familiar with the FD 1023 form, told the Burisma executive he should, quote, get away from the Bidens, and said the executives should not want to be involved with them.
Mm.
A source familiar with the document told Fox News Digital that the confidential human source goes on to detail a later conversation with the Burisma executive following the 2016 presidential election. The confidential source asked the executive if he was upset that Donald Trump won. The source said the Burisma executive told the confidential source that he was an oracle, referring to his or her advice to get away from the Bidens due to fears of potential investigations into their dealings. These revelations came to pass after a whistleblower approached GOP Senator Chuck Grassley and House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer to let them know that the FBI was in possession of document FD 1023.
Well, of course, nothing will be done about this document, but it's interesting nonetheless.
And in the same way you referred to President Trump facing charges and mm-hmm. being impeached, and we've seen this happen before. Nothing's going to happen.
Not charges.
Yeah, okay.
You think nothing's going to happen with this?
I think nothing's going to happen.
What do you mean by that?
Nobody prosecutes a president, a former president.
He's being prosecuted.
Yeah, but it's going to fall apart. And
you think so?
Yeah, I think it's all
just going to... Yeah, I'm with him.
You
know? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Or he's going to get off completely. It's just, it's a dog and pony
show. I mean, like...
Really? Okay.
Let's run these ideas. Let's investigate, you know, in our own little imaginary world, what will happen on A or B, right?
Okay.
So...
Well, first of all, before you do that... It is certainly unprecedented what they've done, right? Like, no president has ever been raided by the FBI in his home.
Right.
That happened, and as soon as that happened, I'm like, all right, all bets are off. I thought he was untouchable like every president, and no, he's not untouchable, at least in that way. And now charges are being brought, 30-something charges. I mean, that's a pretty serious array of charges. They may end up bringing more later on if they treat us, you know, they treat him like they treat anybody else. Mm-hmm. So why are you so skeptical?
Hold on. So just to deal with the massive break in protocol that this is. So, like, I'm a student of history, and you see this sort of thing happen at certain turning points. So, like, this is the sort of thing that you would expect when, say, the communists are taking over. It's like, okay, well, we've reached this point. Now we're going to use the police apparatus to target our political opponents. Now, whether it's the communists or the fascists or whoever it is, whenever some ideology or another hits a certain point of popularity and they've done enough to change the society and its laws, then they just have to keep pushing the envelope and going further and further. Like, they reach that point where they just have to nail it or else they're all going to be put in jail.
So why would they backtrack? If they're going forward, if they're trying to send a message, why would they backtrack and drop the charges or botch the case, throw the case or whatever? I mean, what are you predicting is going to happen here?
Oh, what I think is going to happen is that none of this is going to go anywhere. So, like, for one thing, part of this...
Meaning they'll lose a jury
trial? They know that... Look, they know that Trump is not going to exit any wars. They know that he's not what they want.
He did kind of draw down Afghanistan, didn't he?
I mean, a bit.
He shuffled some troops.
Yeah.
I mean, he withdrew some troops, and then Biden withdrew the rest of them.
But then he sent them somewhere else.
Well, of course.
Right. He didn't wind down any of the, like, what are we in, half a dozen wars right now? He didn't wind any of those down. He didn't even withhold from Ukraine any of the weapons that they wanted or any of the money to buy the weapons from us that they wanted.
Yeah, by no means was he, that different from any of his predecessors.
Right. So this I think, is just another thing to say, look how anti-establishment Trump is. See, the whole establishment's going after him.
You think this is a play to get him more publicity, more popularity? I mean, certainly people are going to galvanize behind him.
You realize that negative publicity spreads faster and further than positive publicity.
I get it. But so do you think that when this goes to trial, like, the odds that they're going to bring 37 charges and then drop all 37 seem pretty low, right? The federal government doesn't bring charges against you just to play a little, show. It's not a show, right? Like, they're still going to go forward with this.
Or is it, right? Because it seems to me like this is a lot like watching some episode, you know, on the next episode, you know, of the United States of America, previously
on. It seems to me like his best chance is to hope that a Trumper gets on the jury, and the odds are someone will. I mean, 12 people, there's a good chance at least one of them is going to be a Trump fan.
So, based on history, I don't think anything is going to happen other than a whole bunch of people are going to be talking about it.
This one's being held from, like, the jury selection is from Florida, right? Or is this the one that's...
Yes, this would be the Southern District of Florida.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a Trumper on that jury.
Okay.
Like, there's going to be at least one Trumper that ends up on that jury, and he'll at least hang the jury, if nothing else. Okay. Yeah, I don't think that anything important is going to come from this. I think this is just it's no new. It's the no such thing as bad press.
It's the WWE, right?
Right.
You know, this is just the next piece of drama in the soap opera that is the United States government.
Yeah, and it's beautiful for both sides because the Republicans get to, you know, really put on this amazing show of, yeah, we're the underdogs, we're taking down the establishment and draining the swamp, woo! Which, none of that's going to happen. We know that for a fact because none of that did happen in the 4 years that he existed as president and in the 2 years that he was president and had the Senate and the House. So, like, no, none of that's going to happen.
And
on the left, they get to really flip out. And that's one of the big parts about this is like the whole woke movement has hit this point where it is either going to explode or fizzle. And that's why they have to keep pushing the boundary and be like, look, we have to break the law to make sure that these white supremacists do not end up in the White House, then that's just what we have to do.
I guess another possibility for Trump is he gets elected before the trial, which, you know, federal government takes a long time to get
and
to the trial.
And then he pardons himself.
And he pardons himself.
Right.
Pardon me, everyone.
Or fires the prosecutor or whatever, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean,
I'm just saying, historically speaking, this is unprecedented in any way, and not unprecedented, not to be convenient, but, and so based on history, no president has successfully been prosecuted really for anything.
Yeah, this is the first even attempt.
And even, well, no, I mean, there have been previous impeachments and previous attempts.
But those aren't prosecutions.
At all this kind of a thing.
Those aren't criminal charges.
Right.
Okay, sure. But that's what makes this, you know, a story. Right?
It is a story, for
and
sure.
Outside of that, though, historical precedent suggests that nothing is going to happen.
Right. That's an interesting prediction.
And I believe it because I think Peekless is onto something. Mm-hmm. What these people in power want to do is rile up the pitchfork people against the torch people and the torch people against the pitchfork people. Meanwhile, they're all robbing us blind and murdering whoever they want to.
That's a great point.
And what's fun about this one, they can tell both sides that the other side is the racist ones.
The number, if you want to join us here, it's 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Meanwhile, they're saying that there's this guy that comes, what was it, this week, said UFOs are a real thing, and the government's been...
Man, they keep trying to get us to bite on that lure, and I'm really glad so far it ain't working.
All right, you're skeptical. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Former President Trump is hitting the campaign trail after being indicted in the classified documents probe. In his first public appearance since the charges were unsealed, Trump on Saturday afternoon called the indictment, quote, ridiculous and baseless. President Biden will hold his first re-election campaign event next week in the swing state of Pennsylvania. The president will attend a political rally with union members in Philadelphia on June 17th. The U.S. is sending an additional $2 billion in security assistance to Ukraine. The U.S. has committed $40 billion in security assistance for Ukraine since Russia's invasion last year. The New York City Council is weighing a controversial reparations bill that calls for the creation of a 9-member task force to decide whether black New Yorkers deserve reparations for slavery. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join us on this live Saturday episode. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about the corruption that, of course, is inevitable when you have a position that is as powerful as the President of the United States.
Well, and if you have an organization that is based on immoral acts and unethical behavior that claims a monopoly on violence, that organization can't help but be corrupt.
Indeed. By the way, I want to say thanks to Daniel Gaudreau, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. You can join AMPS, as Daniel has done. Silver level, what is $5 a month, and that is all that we ask over at amps.freetalklive.com. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind the show here and help us continue to spread the ideas of liberty and peace, freedom, cryptocurrency, the things we like to talk about here. 7 nights a week on broadcast radio and beyond. We're on podcasts. We're on live streams as well. So thanks, Dan, for supporting us. And you can join him over at amps.freetalklive.com. It takes you to our Patreon page where you can sign up with a debit card, credit card, or PayPal. If you don't care for Patreon, and there are reasons to not care for Patreon, you can use our Odyssey channel as well. There's a way to donate through that. You can get a monthly donation set up with your debit card or credit card. Go to video.freetalklive.com and click the join button at the top of our video channel, and you can get signed up there. And then you're supporting Odyssey with the fees instead of supporting Patreon. So either way, the money helps us do what we do. So thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding of radio transmission, as opposed to internet transmission, mm-hmm. is that these signals are broadcast into the air,
yes.
and then they just sort of keep going. And they leave the atmosphere if the signals are strong enough, powerful enough, and will
yeah.
travel throughout the universe.
I don't know how far, but they go somewhere.
Because, well, I know that there are scientists who have these radio telescopes pointed at the sky,
yeah.
and they're always searching for some sort of radio transmission coming from other directions.
Right, right.
So it seems to me that Free Talk Live is intergalactic.
Could be. I don't know how radio transmits out beyond the Earth.
I'm not sure.
No, the other galaxies are too far away.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like whether or not it's intergalactic depends on whether it's reached another galaxy, and it takes more than, say, 20 years at light speed.
Right, so can we say
we are interstellar, though.
Good point.
How about galactic?
We are galactic.
Okay. Okay,
we are a galactically broadcast radio program.
All right, let's go to the phones here. We got Tim on the line in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tim.
This is Tim on the line in Florida.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I took my friend Bill. He's 86-year-old. I took him to Walmart yesterday.
That's nice of you.
No, it was the day before. Anyway, there was an issue. We roll up because he's got a person living in his place, and they've taken over the living room, and you know they're on his TV. And
is this an unwanted person, like somebody who's?
It's well, I don't want to get into the whole story, but it's actually the owner of the apartment. Let's say he was evading a divorce situation and property ownership, and it ended up, you know, he lost everything. So anyway, he's got this guy there now. He's going to be leaving at the end of the month. Not the point, but he's there in the living room now. So like he's watching the TV. So I took my friend Bill to Walmart to get a Roku, and he brought some printer ink. So we're talking about like $140, and he wanted to get $100 cash back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is basically the legacy banking system, and this is a story about I have a legacy banking system, both failed my friend who is 86, and basically embarrassed him at Walmart for no good reason, and we still don't know why.
All right, what happened?
Yeah, so he runs his card, you know, puts in his code, right, and it declines. It declines like three times in a row,
mm-hmm.
and the Haitian chick is trying to help him, and I'm like, look, it's not the chip reader. It's something else, you know.
Something with his account.
In other words, the bank's doing it. Yeah, because mm-hmm. the guy's waiting behind us. So finally, I'm like, I whispered in Bill's ear. I'm like, well, let me run my credit card. I ran my credit card so we could get out of there.
Right.
The next day, we went to the bank. The guy didn't know why, but he said, yeah, your card's good.
Yeah, well, was there a balance in his account?
Yeah, I mean, he's got $38,000 in his account. So it's like,
can he say why his card was declined?
Canceled.
Yeah.
Nope. They don't know.
I mean, they should be able to figure that out. They should be able to look at the transaction logs and say, okay, well, you know, this was the reason or whatever. And maybe he was getting his PIN number wrong.
It even hit his account as pre-authorization like five times.
Whoa.
So if he had only had like $500 in his account, he would have gone negative possibly.
Right, because that pre-authorization hangs out for a while, and if you stack them on top of each other, it can actually prevent you from making any meaningful transaction.
Yeah, I guess you're right. This does sound like just a straight-up bank system failure, where the system did not do what it was supposed to do, which was if you get the PIN number right, that's supposed to authorize the transaction, and that's it. That's supposed to be the end of the story.
Yeah. And this guy's already afraid of like people trying to steal his money, you know, because they've got into his computer before using remote software, and they call him on the phone from a different country. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you because it really is a failure of the banking system. And if we just used a push system, not to say Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
that's slow and bulky, but maybe Dash. But if we just used a push system, we wouldn't even have to deal with this.
Yeah, what you're referring to is cryptocurrencies, where generally, I don't think there's any, I've never heard of any that does it differently. With cryptocurrency, no one else can authorize a transaction besides you, unless, of course, you've given them your keys, and then they could do that. But by default, you have your keys, and you're the only one that has them, and so you are the one who sends the transaction. It is permissionless. It goes over a network that is decentralized. No one can stop it. There's no one in the way to say, whoa, are you really the person you say you are? No, as long as you've got the keys, you can send the transaction. There's no one that says that you can't do this. There's no, unless the internet's not working, your transaction is going to go through. It's going to make it to the receiving party.
Yep. So here's the question that I have about this. Is he taking this warning for what it is? Look, you've got thousands of dollars that at any time they can just say, no, you may not spend these because it's not your money. You have an account with someone else. You have a loan that you've made to a bank. You don't have money. Now, if you had, like, a safe full of gold backs or an account full of Bitcoin Cash or something like that, you would have money. But what you have when you, quote-unquote, have money in a bank is you have made a loan to a bank, and it might repay it when you ask for it, or it might not.
Is there an answer, Tim? Does he feel differently now about the banking system, or is this like, you know, going to be looked at? It's just a one-time fluke, and you know he'll just keep on doing what he's always done. Did we lose you?
Did we lose you?
Maybe we lost Tim. Tim, thanks for the call tonight. My guess is at 86 years old, he's too old to change.
Yeah.
Not interested.
I do want to say though that the legacy banking system. Regulated by, well, the U.S. government, as well as the Federal Reserve, vicariously through the government, is not designed for human ease. It's not designed with customer service in mind. Mm-hmm. It's not designed with any of that in mind. It is designed to be a grinder, right? That's all that it does. And if you get caught up in the churn of the system, it will chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, that's not where they make their money. That's why it isn't designed for our benefit, because we're not their real customers. Their real customers are BlackRock, the federal government, like all of these incredibly corrupt entities are where they're making their real money.
Yeah, who, oddly enough, are kept very happy.
Indeed. And that's why, like, when something happens where it's like, oh, right, I've got depositors who want their money back. Mm-hmm. When something like that happens, they're just completely taken aback. And sometimes it'll cause the entire bank to fold because they go, oh, right, we have customers, like depositors that actually want their money sometimes. Forgot about that because we weren't making any of our money from you guys. We were making our money from the people who pay us back for the loans on the money that we printed out of thin air.
Yeah, I do recall sometime probably in the last decade, you guys are familiar with payday loans.
Yeah, sure. Right. Very high interest.
Very high interest. A lot of folks get caught up in that that churn, and you end up losing money big time, or they start playing one against another, so they'll go borrow from one payday loan company borrow from another one to pay the first one off and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
what really got me was one day I logged into my then non-credit union bank account. And after, because I was looking to see, I was actually searching for a new bank. I wanted to get out of this one bank because they had done me wrong on some overdraft charges. And I was like, I'm done with you guys. I'm just moving my money. Lo and behold, inside of my user interface on their website was, hey, already are on direct deposit. And so we've enabled this new payday loan feature right in your bank account
for
you. Yeah, same high interest rate as the payday loan places, right? They just took, literally, the bank stole the payday loans product and put it inside of their user interface for when their customers log in.
Good bank to leave, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, you had a story about banks tonight, Pecos. Why don't you pull up the latest on Wells Fargo, one of the largest banks in the country, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, let's go to David in San Francisco. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I got when I took financial management in college, they taught us never, ever borrow over 3%. And when you start looking at the Federal Reserve right now, they're trying to get borrowing up to 6%. And so twice dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this, I've forgotten the term you use about the banking system, but it's the old boy system is designed to keep people in perpetual debt.
Yep.
And the idea of, when Biden was talking about getting the kids out from underneath the student loans, he would be basically creating an enormous opportunity for them to expand and actually create something instead of being locked into perpetual debt. And the idea of cutting a few loans would free up so many people, you know, inventive ideas and ability to rebuild your back porch or any, you know, enhance your house and your other assets. It's just so penny wise and pound foolish to be talking about stifling the student loans problem.
Yeah. So wait, you're saying people should have the federal government pay off their student loans?
Well, not exactly that. It's if you know about,
and by that I mean taxpayers.
Well, the fake colleges, that there were a bunch of, you know, 5-10 years ago, there were these fake colleges that were trapping kids into borrowing money to go to an online university that was basically giving them a kindergarten education.
That's about what they're getting in the regular universities at this point.
Well, that's not true. Every university has got its own.
If you look into the effect of the so-called education that they're getting in these colleges, in a lot of subjects, they are more informed and capable. They are more capable before they go to college than when they come out, especially in things like economics.
They certainly are not as likely to question so-called authority once they get out of government school or government college education. The most obedient people that we see in these surveys that are being done are the people who have the highest education. If you've got a master's degree, you're more obedient. If you've got or you're the most obedient. If you've got, what's the lower one below that, whatever the 4-year.
So how many of those classrooms you've been in personally?
Too many.
Yeah, same.
Well, I'm sure. But the money
you sound like you don't believe us that we've been to college. Yeah, no, we've been to college. It's garbage.
Yeah, wait, was it junior college? Was it Harvard? Was it the School of Alabama?
It does not matter at this point.
I do have a question for David, though. You said at the top of your call that when you went to whatever it was, financial management class or whatever it was, that they taught you never to borrow more than 3%. Do you remember why they taught you that? I'm curious.
Well, yeah, as a business, it goes back to that the baby boom was cheated. The 3% was actually considered high compared to what people from World War II were paying. I'm a baby boomer, so, you know, the baby boom kids were the kids of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And when a VA note, you could buy a house for 1.25%. On a VA note, if you were a World War II vet, the government would lend you money to buy a house at 1.25. I think it was 1.5. But then the baby boom, Vietnam comes along, and Richard Nixon decides to punish the baby boomers for opposing the war, and he starts doing the sky's the limit for interest rates, and so the baby boom all of a sudden went by the time Jimmy Carter was in, interest rates were 22%. Not 3%, not 1.5%, but 22%.
So credit card rates.
Jimmy. Yeah, crazy numbers. Yeah, and so when I was taught 3%, that was actually, you know, better than twice as high as World War II vets.
Okay, so it's a question of historical reference. I got you. Thanks.
Well, 7% is 7%, and
yeah.
That was the usury rate in Missouri, that it was against the law to charge more than 7%. Places like Utah had, I think it was 0.8% usury, but I think the highest usury rate was, I'm trying to think, it was North Carolina or someplace at 11%.
So just to clarify what you were saying earlier, though, you were saying that you think that the government bailing out through the taxpayers, of course, or printing money or whatever, bailing out these people with college loans, that's something you support.
Well, yeah, because if you look at, and this gets into your previous conversation with that other caller, money used to reflect your reputation. If you were an honest person, you'd probably make a bunch of money if you made good cabinetry, if you made good cars, if you made good products, a tube man, whatever you did, your money was supposed to reflect your reputation. But if a thief or a pirate comes along and steals all of it, do they actually have a reputation? And is your reputation lost when somebody steals the numbers? So it's money has long been in this problem, and computerized money or tangible gold coins are still reflective of if it was really done by somebody honest or was it just stolen by somebody in the...
I'm not sure what any of that has to do with the question about college loans being paid off. So let's just zero in and focus. Just focus on that for a moment here. What it sounds like you're saying, David, by supporting the government using tax money or printing money, which, of course, steals from everyone that has dollars, to pay off. Hold on, I'd like to ask the question. To pay off these college loans, it sounds like what you're saying here is that the privileged brats that go to college should be taken care of by all the hardworking people in the United States who don't have college loans to pay off. Is that right?
No. Because when you're saying somebody's a privileged brat, you're ignoring the fact that there were people who got cheated and cheated and cheated. Like all of the jobs left Pittsburgh to go to China. All of the jobs left this city to go to someplace else. And they got told, well, you got to go back to college and learn a new trade. Well, the baby boom had to redo itself at least five times. Five different times that they got cheated out of everything, and the legacy jobs got sent to China or sent to the sweatshops, and all of the looms, all of the fibers, and all of the...
But people going to college today, I mean, again, we're talking about people going to college, like, over the last few decades, for instance. These are people who weren't trying to get a manufacturing job. They were going to college to supposedly get, quote-unquote, higher education. And
exactly.
They
and
paid through the nose for
level.
It. And now, I don't disagree that they get cheated, because I think college is mostly a scam. And I feel bad for good people who get scammed out of this money. But that said, buyer beware. If you want to go and get a $100,000 loan for something that's not a really good deal in the first place, whether it's a college or a Ferrari or whatever it is that you know you're going to do with that money, that's not my problem, and I shouldn't be on the hook to bail you out for your mistakes.
What you're ignoring, you know, you guys always talk about gold and tangible assets and specie as a, like in the old days. The treasury of a nation, the gold in its Fort Knox, was the value of the nation. Well, in World War II, the IMF came along and they said that actually the education of a nation can be seen as an asset. That if you've got an intelligent population that can create all sorts of new inventions and create
but
new...
But the United States doesn't create those types of
and
individuals.
Sure, sending someone to college to make them smart is like putting someone in the NBA to make them tall.
Oh, that's the smartest thing I heard all week.
Thanks for the call tonight. He's being facetious there, but anyway, go ahead.
Now, I'll make the argument that he's making, though. I think there is some merit to the argument that, okay, so you have...
An educated populace brings up the nation.
The argument that these ought to be... I mean, you say, like, should they be paid by the taxpayer? Well, hold on now. So these loans are fundamentally are made by the Department of Education. Like, they're the ones who are ultimately on the hook for all of these loans. So these are government loans. The people that made these loans are the government.
Right.
Now, they defrauded all of these people.
Yeah.
They told them, hey, you will definitely be able to get a job. It will be a good job and a high-paying one, and it'll be in the field that you enjoy. None of that is remotely true at all.
Sure. There's a ton of lies around college.
So since at this point, the government has defrauded people, and those people are now on the hook to the government.
Yes.
If the government then forgives these loans to the people that it defrauded, I don't see how anyone's a victim
of
that.
But that's not what the proposal is. The proposal isn't to just wipe them off the books. The proposal is to pay them off the books. So I would agree with you. If the government were simply saying, oh, we're just going to say forgive all these loans and we're just going to cross it off, we're saying it's over, done day, here you go, all paid off, have a nice day, kids, good luck with your lives, that would be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're talking about, or the proposal was, and I think it got frozen or something. There's some sort of court thing, I think, that froze the procedure on this. I don't recall the exact status of it. But essentially, the idea was, no, we're going to go ahead and either print the money or we're going to tax people for it. But the little guy is going to pay off these college loans. They aren't going to just wipe them out. It's going to be paid for every single penny by the U.S. taxpayers.
But the government has $2.1 billion to give to Ukraine every other week.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the way they're going to do it. Because fiscal responsibility, we can't just make a loan and not pay it back.
Yeah, you can.
Well, they don't think they can.
Well, they do it all the time.
I'm waiting for the Fed and the U.S. government to pull what I like to call the Jubilee card. Right? This is something that has happened in other nations previously, historically, where they do have some sort of period of debt forgiveness. And by forgiveness, I'm not talking about what you're talking about, where they're going to steal from other people to pay it off. No, they're just saying, okay, we just forgive it. You don't owe it anymore. This
never
debt is wiped off the books.
Never going to happen.
It actually might, as a last sort of stand with the dollar collapse. It might be something that they, a trick that they pull out of their hat to try and kick the can down the road even further and keep the party going.
Yeah, I don't think they're ever going to do that, because that would be denying themselves profit.
I'm just saying, historically, it's been a tool that has been used, and it wouldn't surprise me if at some point, as the dollar continues to collapse, as your money gets worth less and your groceries become worth more, or, you know, more and more expensive, that they don't come around and say, okay, well, we're going to forgive some people for some things, right? And then it'll be a classic thing. And by classic, I mean within classes, right? If you're in this class, you get forgiven. But if you're in this class, you don't get forgiven.
Yeah, I still don't think they'll forgive even one class of their debts, and I'll tell you why. So those other periods in history when they've, you know, played this card, they, as far as I know, that never happened while fiat currency was in use. So they weren't printing the money that people owed. So, like, the reason that ultimately this money, you know, gets traded back and forth and around and has its value is because people make payments on the debt that created this thing.
Economist, but I think that the whole idea of Jubilee came about because of what we'll refer to historically as fiat, not modern fiat, but like think Roman fiat, where they're like shaving pieces off the coin and stuff like
that. Yeah, that's not fiat. Like, there is still a metal involved in that. Like, and
fiat is something that's declared valuable by the king.
Right.
Right.
I mean, like, you can have the point where, like, okay, we demand that you pay as if this was completely made of gold, even though it's obviously not, and that's kind of fiat there. But, since this has no, like, people call it intrinsic value, but, like, since it has no value except that people will pay their debts, I don't think that's a tool that's in their belt for this one.
Apparently, by the way, the question of these student loan payoffs at the federal level is currently at the Supreme Court, and a verdict is expected on it. But for now, it's all on hold. There's more coming up.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.